This is a HeadGum Original.
What a spider web. What a web was woven. I never would have thought that this episode about the sunniest American band in history would have so much death and murder. So many people died in this conversation.
Including you!
Including me! Oh, how could we ever improve this song? How could we ever improve Round, Round, Get Around, I Get Around? I don't know if we can do it. I don't know if we can do it, but we have some expert help here this week, and we're going to give it our best. We're going to do our darndest. We're going to get around. We're going to get around this thing.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam. Punch it up.
Punch Up the Jam is a show. It's a podcast. It's a show in which we listen to the greatest hits of all time, and then we make them better. We punch them up. This week, we're talking about I Get Around by the Beach Boys, the iconic American band. They've only appeared on the pod one previous time with their insipid hit from the 80s, Kokomo. This time, we're talking about a completely beloved song. Everyone loves this thing.
With good reason.
What could be wrong with it?
It's a great song.
It's a great song. My name is Evan Gregory. I'm one of the hosts of this wonderful show for the time being. My brother Andrew is the other host, and he's currently out on paternity leave. So we've entered a land of chaos. We're exploring unknown territory here with a solo host at the helm. Who knows what could happen? As David Guetta said,
you know, just me being open to life.
That's me, being open to life. And I'm excited. I'm open. I'm welcoming. This week, our very special guest, Tim Daniels.
Welcome.
Welcome to the pod.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to help you navigate the chaos. I won't be any help.
Tim is one of the wonderful co-hosts of another HeadGum show called The Complete Guide to Everything, and is very comfortable BSing his way through any topic. But this is actually something for once in your life that you know something about. Can you tell me or describe to me what was it that made you think of I Get Around when I desperately called and asked you to help me with this show?
And when you called me, there was panic in your voice. I was genuinely worried. I got down here right away. So I thought, I gotta something I know real well. The Beach Boys, I Get Around. I was a Beach Boys baby. Grew up on the Beach Boys.
You were a Beach Boy baby B-boy.
Evan, I spent a lot of time at the beach. I spent a lot of time surfing. I spent a lot of time racing cars. And I spent a lot of time listening to the Beach Boys. A lot of overlap there.
I believe that. You're a greaser, for sure.
Yeah.
You're a hunk. You're a beachy hunk.
Feel my hair.
I'm touching it right now.
Yeah, now that you want to go wash your hands.
It feels like I stuck my fingers in a vat of olive oil.
Yeah. Well, people tend to be impressed. You look less than impressed right now. No, I grew up loving the Beach Boys, loving this song, loving a lot of their early music. And this was actually the first song where I realized, oh, I can love a song that has really dumb lyrics. I didn't know how dumb these lyrics were until like 5 years after I had first heard it.
You can listen to this song a lot of times without hearing all the words. Some of them hide in all the harmonies.
Yeah, which I think is the most fortuitous thing about their early sound. Right? Their sound, their wonderful, sunny sound, masks a lot of really dumb lyrics.
Well, let's set the table a little bit. I mean, everybody listening to the show probably knows who the Beach Boys are, but in terms of their sound was arrived at by melding, would you say, the doo-wop sound of the 50s, all the vocal groups that are doing the like ba-ba, shoo-ba-ba, rama-lama, ding-dong type stuff.
Yeah, the ram-a-lama ding-dongs of
the
world.
Yeah, the literal ram-a-lama ding-dongs of the world, the bop-shoo-bops. They put that over top of the Chuck Berry guitar-driven rock and roll, I think in a literal kind of way at first.
Oh, yeah. They literally used Chuck Berry's you know, trademark riff that appears in a lot of different Chuck Berry songs in Surfin' USA.
You know, that's awesome because it's like they started as a garage band, a family band. The Beach Boys' three brothers, the Wilson brothers, a cousin, and another pal from down the street, presumably, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And they were a literal garage band for some time. So you can imagine that they are just writing this by just ripping off riffs, never thinking that it would have to be an original song like that. That's just kind of how they were practicing. Then it turned into a hit. And then in retrospect, Chuck Berry comes to them and is like, you ripped my thing, man.
This isn't one of those things where like 50 years later, the estate comes knocking. And it's like, hey, we need back royalties for the last half century.
Or a blurred lines lawsuit or something.
This is like immediate. It's released. And Chuck Berry goes to them. He's like, you ever hear my song, Sweet Little 16? Which let's not even delve into that. And it was more of like, I don't know, the things that happen now where they'll immediately kind of, you know, what is it?
Like Olivia Rodrigo did with Taylor Swift, where
exactly.
Because she yelled similar to Taylor Swift and had said in interviews that she admired Taylor Swift.
She's like, let's nip this in the bud right now. Like a month after the singles released, here we go, right? Was that correct?
Yes.
So that happened. That all happened in 1963. So yeah, they literally sanitized a little bit the Chuck Berry sound, put some doo-wop over it, and the rest is history.
It's history because it sounds amazing. Like what they're doing works. The singing is awesome, and at first their first few hits, Surfin' USA. There's a song just called Surfin'. There's Surfin' right, Safari. Mm-hmm. So many different ways to surf. At first, it's like musically really, really simple. Sounds like Louie Louie and all that stuff with doo-wop harmonies layered over it. But by the time you get to I Get Around, which is, I guess they'd been public figures at that point for 2-3 years, kind of had their break. By the time you get to I Get Around, it's starting to get more musically complex. So I think we could talk about that a little bit. Like, what makes this song more layered than, say, Louie Louie by the Kingsmen?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is really, I think, Brian Wilson coming into his own as a songwriter melodically. There were some, we can talk about the lyrics in a little bit, how the process went for early Beach Boys songs when Brian Wilson would bring a song to the boys. But yeah, this I think it is notable too. This is the first time they got a little bit more complex with their musical arrangements and happened to be their first number one single. Not just in the U.S., but in many countries worldwide. So, like, I think that's when they're like, hey, let's keep pulling this thread.
Yeah, coincidence? The more chords means more sales, boys.
Every time you change a key, I hear that cash register ding.
More modulations, boys.
Modulate up a stick. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. We're raking it in. We're making real good bread on these key changes.
Well, this was also around the time where they pushed Murray out.
Oh yeah. So I don't know. It's widely known in popular culture that Brian Wilson, the musical director and sort of the songwriting genius behind them, they're all really talented. But the brother Brian Wilson is sort of like the main songwriter, and struggled with mental health issues with lots of ups and downs, and people kind of depict him as like the tortured genius type. Maybe somewhat less widely known is that there's all sorts of other dark stuff going on in the interpersonal relationships, and it's just in such stark contrast to the sunny California girls thing that is the whole image of the band. They had this really overbearing father who was their manager for the first couple of years.
Yeah. Right?
That's Murray Wilson.
Right.
And you're saying it was his departure as manager was around the time they were recording this song?
Yeah. There was actually, I think everybody agrees on this. I don't think everyone in the band agrees on the timeline of when they pushed him out as manager, mm-hmm. but this was the first time Brian Wilson stood up to Murray, and in the studio while they were recording I Get Around, Murray was belittling Brian Wilson, and Brian Wilson actually like physically threw him up against the wall and was just like
his own dad.
Yeah. we're doing this my way. And he had never stood up to him before. So I think, you know, this is a confluence of the music is getting a little more complex. Brian Wilson has reached the end of his rope with his dad and starts beating the hell out of him. You know, the 60, they're feeling the pressure from the Beatles. They gotta stay ahead. I think all of this, you know, really all comes together, and it's an explosion of creativity.
That's it. Yeah, all that energy funneled into this song. And
about driving up and down the strip.
About driving up and down the strip. Let's start playing the song, man. We'll talk about whether or not the lyrics are related to throwing your own dad up against the wall.
Round, round, get around, I get around.
Yeah, get around, round, round, I get around.
I get around, round.
Man, it's just that all the sections are so good. I'm just going to be pausing this constantly. So I think it's just a lot of swagger in that opening doo-wop riff. Like, only the voices singing, round, round, get around, I get around. The chords are, I don't know, it's a little bit different than your typical stuff that would have been going on in the 50s to start on, round, round, get around, I get around. It's just a different harmonic move that immediately jumps out at you. Their voices sound really good together.
Now, that particular section was the subject of a legal battle in the 90s between Mike Love, the villain of the Beach Boys, and Brian Wilson, the hero of the Beach Boys.
Wait, what makes Mike Love the villain of the Beach Boys?
Have you ever seen Mike Love?
Not in person. I don't know. I don't think I could pick him out if you put the Beach Boys up on stage in a lineup.
He's the one in the Beach Boys hat. Well, the man owns two hats.
He's a hatted man.
Yeah.
He's a sombreroed individual.
Baseball caps. A Beach Boys baseball cap or a MAGA hat.
That's his aesthetic.
That's his aesthetic.
Oh, he went from Beach Boys hat to MAGA hat.
Right. Okay. And back. He's back and forth.
Okay. But some dark energy there.
Exactly.
Okay. So and Beach Boys fans would agree that he's the villain?
I would think so. I think as we're seeing, if we're following the narrative that Brian is the tortured genius.
But it's not like, you know, if you're a One Direction fan, you know, some people are on, you follow Harry, some people are Zayn heads. You know, some people like Ringo, some people like Paul.
Yeah. Ringo and Paul. Okay, I think No, Ringo's a nice man, though. I think Mike Love, the narrative around him is that he opposed everything that Brian wanted to do to kind of push the boundaries and make things musically interesting and make the songs deeper. He wanted to just do songs about surfing and driving up and down the same old strip.
Yeah. Stick with the strip.
Yeah, exactly.
Surfing works, man. We're only surfing. Just waves and boards.
I think it was... I'm not sure if this is a real story or not, but that they named Pet Sounds because he said the music was so bad only dogs could hear it or something.
That's an okay burn, but it's a much harsher clapback to just own that and name the album after it. I love that.
Yeah.
No, so I'm buying it. So Mike Love is the artistic villain even before he gets weird and politicky and crazy. He's already the artistic villain because he's just really conservative, wants to stick only with the doo-wop-y stuff while Brian's ready to do innovative things in the studio and try new harmonies and whatever.
And a lot of people think he takes a lot more credit than is due to him.
Oh.
And he pursued that through litigation in the 90s. Including with this song, this was solely attributed to Brian Wilson in the beginning. And then in the 90s, Mike Love sued him for credit and royalties on a lot of songs, one of them. He claims that he came up with the intro, round, round, get around, I get around, which, that whole section. But it's very funny that even in his autobiography, which I've read...
okay.
He's just like, yeah, what I did is I knew this song Barbara Ann, the Beach Boys eventually covered. And he's like, I went to Brian and I was just like, hey, why don't we just Why don't we do it like this? This is a quote from his autobiography. Remember Barbara Ann, performed by the Regents and released in 1961? It goes, ba, 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 Barbara Ann. How about round, round, get around, I get around?
So that implies that the whole song really was already written.
Yeah, exactly.
That Brian Wilson had written this song. And Mike Love is just making an arrangement suggestion. What if instead of starting with the band coming in or something, we copy Barbara Ann? His writing idea is copying a different band song.
Yeah, I deserve songwriting credit on this because I ripped off another song and told you about it.
That's sinister. That's sinister. But I have to say, it did work. This iconic song opening.
You know what he claims Brian Wilson's response to that was?
What?
And I quote, "Whoa, terrific."
That's the kind of braggadocio that Brian is also channeling in the writing of this song. Just people complimenting me. Wow, you're terrific. I heard it for the first 1,000 times. I couldn't have told you what those words are. You can hear, I get around. You can hear that. And obviously, you know that's the title of the song. And these guys are just round, round, get around hundreds of times. So you know that. And then you can still hear from town to town.
Because that makes sense, too. Like, it's, I get around from town to town.
Agree.
Like,
yeah, good point. Both things are about locomotion.
Right.
I get around from town to town. Very comprehensible. Then the next thing is just kind of bad, both because it's the falsetto and just it kind of gets muddled into the mix of the other voice. I never could have told you what that line was.
And we all would have been the better for it.
I wish I didn't know. I wish I did. It was just more, I get around. But the line is, I'm a real cool head. Making real good bread. Making real good bread.
Bragging. That's a little braggy.
It's a little braggy. I'm not sure what real cool head means. If I heard somebody say that now, I would think that they're talking about they don't get angered easily. They're calm.
Cool head. Yeah,
I kept a cool head in there. I'm not 100% sure that's what it means in 1964.
No, and also,
there's other clues later in the song that they're trying to get really slangy. So I'm wondering if it has to do with 60s head shops.
Like drugs?
Like I'm a real cool head, like a person who smokes. I don't know, that's a real stretch.
Yeah. I think they wanted to brag about how much money they made by saying, making real good bread. And then we're just like, how can we say, it was probably like, I'm a real cool guy, right? Because that's what they're trying to say, right? A real cool guy?
So you're saying they're just going for the rhyme on bread?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's plausible. That's one of those things where we call that out a lot, and it's Andrew's pet peeve. Is just phoning in the rhyme because you wanted to use one word, so you phone in head because you wanted to say bread.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Well, take it up with Mike Love, who claims that he wrote all the lyrics to this song. Can I tell you a little something else about Mike Love and the lyrics of this song?
Please do. I started out skeptical, but the more that you're layering into it, I'm getting just so excited about all this stuff.
Can I read another excerpt from his autobiography?
Please.
Okay. Brian had written lines about a guy looking for a new place to hang out. The opening was, well, there's a million little girls just waiting around.
That's the original lyric, a first draft lyric. A million little girls just waiting around. Okay.
But there's only so much to do in a little town.
Okay, not bad. You can see how someone would want to get around.
I get around from town to town.
Okay, I get around.
This is
it's like I'm a wanderer. I get around that old song, which would have predated this by just a few years.
Yeah, does this imply promiscuity? We'll get to that
gently.
In the second verse where they talk about not going steady. Anyway,
yeah.
Mike Love goes on. I thought it meandered without a strong beat. And this is Mike Love's quote. Those are pussy lyrics, I said.
Come on.
I went to Dorsey High, and I'm not going to sing them.
What does that mean?
He went to Dorsey High.
What is Dorsey High?
I looked up Dorsey High. It just seems to be a high school in Los Angeles.
And Dorsey High must have been so hard.
I guess.
That is so 50s to me to be obsessed with your letter jacket.
Well, he was famously true to his school.
You have to be true to your school if you're in the Beach Boys and singing true to your school. And he was repping Dorsey High.
Yeah.
Years later, to the point that he's getting into a fight with his bandmate about it.
Yeah. Notable alumni include Mike Love, Billy Preston, and a bunch of people I've never heard of. This probably wasn't.
Well, those two alone is a great musical pedigree.
I don't know how hard it could have been if Mike Love went there.
I went to Dorsey High, and I'm not going to sing your pussy lyrics.
The pussy lyrics, by the way, being a million little girls just waiting around, there's only so much to do in a little town. Not that much different than the way it turned out, at least in terms of like tough guy, on the tough guy scale, right?
Yeah, and right down the middle as far as previous Beach Boy lyrics are concerned.
Yeah.
You know, just singing about little surf bunnies. They're beefing.
They're always, but this is the thing, they're beefing, but always in Mike Love's telling, where he is bullying the man that, you know, has we all know now, suffered from mental illness and a lot of anxiety. Essentially, in Mike Love's own telling, he's bullying him and gets his way every time.
You're writing this out as a tragedy. I wouldn't have thought of this song as like the linchpin of all the future hardships and travails of the Beach Boys. But now it's kind of coming out that way. Maybe they should have got around a little bit less, I guess.
Mm. Number one hit, though.
Yeah, that's a number one hit. You can't say no to that.
Mm. I'm getting bugged driving up and down the same old strip. I gotta find a new place where the kids are hip.
I'm getting bugged. So that's basically the same content that you just talked about. So this must have been the line that Mike Love wanted to change. It was, there's a million little girls, but there's nothing new in a small town. Yeah. It's the same idea. I'm getting bored, except they said I'm getting bugged.
Right.
And there's something about, I don't know, it feels pretty try hard to me.
Also, it's just like, it seems like bugged is just kind of a mildly annoyed, right? Like, you're bugging me, right? But
you're
that's, I'm thinking
yeah.
post-90s, right?
Yeah.
Post-John Leguizamo's House of Buggin'.
Yeah. Yeah, the Beach Boys are bugging, but the imagery to me of getting in their convertible and just driving up and down the same old strip over and over. You know, maybe hundreds of times they've gone up and down this same strip in their little deuce coupe.
Right. Or their 409 sort of thing.
or in their 409 or their GTO, their Thunderbird.
Now, all right. The thing that really kind of gets my goat here is I got to find a new place where the kids are hip. Right? So it's not even like, you know, I see the same faces everywhere. I need something new. It's like, these kids suck.
Yeah, not only am I bored with this place, but the kids here actually suck. They're lame. They're not cool.
Yeah. We've had numerous charting singles, no number ones, but we now aspire to hang out with a higher caliber kid.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. Okay, this is a great point, because I think I always understood this song when I was younger to just like be about an archetype of a person who is racing cars and driving up and down the strip or whatever. But the lore about the song is that it really is about their success. It really is about like, oh, we are making bread in real life.
Right.
We're bragging about our success, but we've just couched the lyrics in the culture that we're famous for. So it's a little bit metaphorically, I guess you would say. And I think you're raising a good point, which they're just saying to like their friends and to somebody's face, like, you're not cool enough anymore. We got better than you.
Yeah. And I just got to find a new place where you're not there, where there's a better person there. I had to leave town because you are such a bore.
We've gone Hollywood.
Yeah, you used to be cool enough for me, but now I'm better. I've bettered myself, so I need to leave.
I'm rich, and I've earned my ticket out of this group of friends.
Look at me. I am a cool head, my friend.
I have a real cool head. I'm going to say that next time I see you out socially.
How dare you?
Yeah, I have a real cool head. As much as the lyrics grate on me, I just cannot hate on the track. These little surfy riffs in between the verse lines are just so good, man. There's like a little two-bar break before they come in with the rest of the verse.
The place where the kids are hip. My buddies and me, you're getting real well known.
Yep, literally.
Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone.
Who are the bad guys?
The bad guys. See, this is the other thing. They're trying to act all tough and cool, and it's just like, guess what? Guess what, guys? We're famous now. We don't get bullied anymore.
You know who calls people bad guys? Children.
Boys.
Little
beach boys.
Little beachy boys. Little boys call villains in movies the bad guys. Who's the bad guys in their life? Yeah, the bad guys know us, and they leave us alone.
Now,
because my buddies and me are famous now, we have a big rock band. Who are the bad guys?
Greasers. The I don't know, the guys with the switchblades, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. The Jets.
The Jets, probably.
Probably the Jets. And they're probably driving bad guy cars. Little hatchbacks with souped up engines and big carburetors that inject nitro.
Oh, gosh.
That's bad guy stuff.
Yeah, and they come up snapping, and then the Beach Boys come right back going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and the bad guys are like, oh, okay, sorry, my bad.
Good guys sing doo-wop, bad guys sing Broadway.
Exactly. Everybody knows that.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-man, tonight.
I do have a question about this second couplet. Is that, am I using that right?
Yeah, couplet. Two rhyming lines. My buddies and me are getting real well known. Okay, this is very autobiographical.
Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone. Now, if you connect that, let me hypothesize another potential definition of bugged.
Mm-hmm.
Could this mean they are getting real well known? Now they're driving up the same old strip. People are bugging them, like, "Hey, it's those Beach Boys." Like, they're annoying them. They're like, "Can I get an autograph? Can I get a picture?" And then I got to find a new place where the kids are hip, where kids have more of a cool head, and they're just like, they're gonna play it cool. They know what it's like to be around a celeb.
This is a great theory. Maybe it's not. I'm getting bored. These kids who are not hip, they have no chill. And they know that I'm a famous rocker now. And they want to take selfies with me, whatever the 1964 version of that is. Autographs. They're getting paper autographs.
Paper autographs with a ballpoint pen. I guess we still have ballpoint pens now.
Yep. And taking selfies on film cameras.
Yeah.
That would bug you. You can't hang out on your same old strip that you used to like outside Dorsey High.
Now, if Mike Love did indeed write these lyrics, as he claims,
okay,
I think he would hear both of these interpretations, and he would say, yes, they're both right. Because also in his autobiography, he talks a lot about how he likes leaving things open to interpretation. In Kokomo, he says a lot of people make fun of him for using "Come on, Pretty Mama."
Sure.
He's like, no, that makes it universal. That could be a man speaking to his wife. That could be a child talking to his mother.
No! No!
So that's the genius of Mike Love, the lyricist. It's all in play here.
That's back to their pure doo-wop roots. But it feels really good because it feels like the song sort of relaxes there. You're already halfway through this very short song. This song clocks in at only like 2:15, including a long fade. There's only two verses we've already heard once or halfway through the song, and they go into this other instrumental section. I guess it's a guitar solo with the doo-wop wah-wah-oos, but they secretly move to another key here, and it makes it sound really fresh and chill. And like another band wouldn't have done that. Where did they end up here? Now they're in this key, which is A, when they actually started in G. My buddy's in E. It's like, round, round, get around, I get around. And they snuck their way into a totally different key for this guitar solo. And I think it makes it sound really fresh. It's a really cool move.
Not to mention that sweet surf guitar with that the wet reverb. That was new at the time, man. They were, this was a brand new sound.
You mean the reverb that they're using on the guitar?
Yeah.
It's tasty, man. It's tasty. I'm just going to skip back like a bar. You can hear some of these higher licks on the lead guitar. Oh, it's groovy, baby. And they modulate it again.
Oh, behave.
Very surfy, baby. So coming out of the guitar solo, they landed in another new key, A flat, which is...
So did they modulate down a half step?
Yes, but they got to... It sounds higher because it's higher than where you thought the verse would be. It's higher than they have sung the
right
hook of Round, Round, Get Around yet. They kind of moved to this different... We call it like a tonal region, I guess. They moved to this different region just for the guitar solo. Makes the guitar solo sound fresh, but you still might expect to go back to the original G for Round, Round, Get Around, or the next verse or whatever. But instead, they land, instead of coming back to Round, Round, Get Around, they just land on... Let's listen to that modulation again. It's pretty stinking tasty. And they put it in your face. In this guitar solo section, they just keep it real doo-wop-y. This is the same chord progression that you would have in almost any doo-wop song in the 50s. 1-4-1-5. And then to set up the new key, you just move up by half step. And when you do it with no messing around, you just call that the crowbar. Like you lifted the whole song by a crowbar. And that sets up the... That sets up the new key, which is the key of A flat. The first chord is B flat minor, but they're in the key of A flat at that point.
That's sneaky. That's a sneaky look. I wouldn't say I'm a musician. I'm a drummer, but these
the least musical of instruments. I can't believe you're outing your own instrument.
I'm not a good drummer. but listening to this song a couple times, like I didn't track the key changes listening to it, and then starting it, you know, I'd listen to it a couple times to prepare, and like going back and starting it over and being like, what the hell? This is starting in a different key. They did a real sneaky modulation.
Yeah. Well,
they're not flashy about it.
The guitar solo is really sneaky.
Yeah.
And then coming out of the guitar solo, when they go wah wah ooh and crank it up, then you feel it. And like if you were on the dance floor, you would feel it. That would add energy to your experience. Just a little injection.
Right. Yeah. I should have been dancing when I listened to this. I'm sorry.
A hot chord injection. You know, it's sad in the podcasting industry that we don't have the leeway and the freedom to dance while we're recording.
It's like, hey, who's the mayor of podcasting, John Lithgow?
I've never heard that before, but I hope that that's true. If we were just taking orders from John Lithgow.
I mean, what do you think this WWJLD bracelet is all about?
You belong to the religion of John Lithgow.
Yeah. It's not just podcasting. It's everything.
I guess I hadn't connected the dots with your Harry and the Hendersons t-shirt.
Yeah, and my Harry and the Hendersons, Harry and the Hendersons cosplay. That's why I'm always in a full Bigfoot costume.
We've been looking for a place where the kids are hip, and we found it with this Sasquatch cosplay.
It really is wild that this song is just two verses. It's also wild. You mentioned those little riffs, those little licks in between each line.
Yeah.
What about the hand claps under the second half?
Yeah, there's something really funny about there's only 8 hand claps. Instead of like clapping for the whole chorus or something, you just get 8 claps right in your face.
They do like a 4 on the floor for like 2 measures and then bam.
Yeah. Okay, here comes the second verse and check out these hand claps.
We always take my car because it's never been beat. And we've never missed yet with the girls we meet.
Yeah, right there. We've never missed yet with the girls we meet. There's just 8 claps in a row, then they quit. Clap, 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 chunk. We've never missed yet with the girls we meet. I don't know. I'm picturing somebody like really aggressive, just like walking up to you and singing this in your face and clapping right in your face to get your attention. Hey! We've never missed yet with the girls we meet.
That's something you want people to pay attention to when you're telling them.
Yeah, you don't want people
to forget
that.
I'm batting 1,000 with girls I've met. Listen to me. I'm doing great.
I'm succeeding in all my endeavors. I'm making real good bread. I'm rich.
My head couldn't be cooler.
I win all of my car races. I'm big into drag racing, and my car has never been defeated.
All these kids around me, the lamest kids I've ever seen in my life.
And hey, are you listening to me? Are you listening? The girls love me. Believe it.
The first half of it, where he's bragging about his car, that's fine to me. I feel like that tracks with, you know, any teen, any California teen on the strip is going to be like, hey, my car's never been beat. Right, that I don't think that comes along with. I'm famous now.
Are you saying it's kind of like a fishtail, just like an acceptable fib? Like my car's never been beat.
I think so. Or maybe saying you have a nice car. I think in this culture, that's not controversial to me.
Okay, yeah, it's just like a how you doing.
Act like they're better than anybody.
Yeah, it's just a hi, how you doing.
Yeah.
Hey, my name's Brian. My car's never been beat.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, me neither, Brian. Sure, you roll your eyes.
They pack a lot of bragging into this bit, and to me, it goes too far and is undercutting the brag and makes me feel a little bit more like, maybe I'm questioning now if this is... If this is true,
spinning some tall tales.
You've never been beat, huh?
The lady doth protest too much, methinks.
Brian Wilson doth protest too much, methinks. Now, methinks, perhaps his car has been beat. And perhaps the girls are not paying him attention as he suggests. I have to ask you, though, I'm quite confused about the next couple. I just don't follow it. Will you please decipher this one for me? Now, I'm not a 50s head here, but I mean, I know a little bit about what they're talking about, but the line here is, none of the guys go steady because it would not be right to leave their best girl home now on a Saturday night.
I think this is a chivalrous statement.
But doesn't go steady, when you go steady with someone, that means like they are your best girl now. You're labeling them like we have ownership over each other. We're going steady. We don't date other people.
I think that's why none of the guys go steady, because it would be quite a rude thing to go steady with a girl and then go make time with another girl on Saturday night. And these guys want to keep themselves open to pursue all opportunities.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. You are deciphering this for me. So it's a statement of alliance to promiscuity.
Right.
We get around.
But they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings about it.
I'm not going to go steady and then cheat.
Right.
I'm just going to get around. And it also smacks of bros before hoes. Like, obviously, I'm going to go out every Saturday night with my bros racing cars.
Right. And
like, I'm not, that's non-negotiable.
But also, not missing with girls that they meet.
Yeah, every girl they meet is going to date them. So you don't want to be already steady.
Exactly,
because
that's not fair to the girl sitting at home on Saturday night.
Yeah, you do an accidental cheat.
Right.
Just an accidental whoopsie.
So this is nice. That's just being like, look, we've never missed with a girl, but guess what? I'm not cheating on anybody. There's no girl that I'm going steady with that's sitting at home on a Saturday night while I'm making time with these other ladies.
Yeah, well, I'm out not missing.
Yeah, batting 1,000. Checking every box.
I'm feeling worse about the song, but better about understanding that line.
I think it's kind of sweet.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I'm getting around. I'm doing my thing, and guess what? I'm not breaking anybody's heart. Everybody knows what this is. I'm not deceiving anybody.
I guess so. I guess I was thinking that they were just the sweet surfing Beach Boys that would go steady with a surfy bunny and bring them out. You know, bring Rachel out to race your cars with you. You know, have an intimate experience with her. Share your life with somebody. But I see where you're going.
They're not into that. They're famous.
They're making real good bread, and they need to sow their wild bread oats.
Yeah.
What's left in this tiny tune? That's one thing I love about it is you just can't believe it's a 2-minute song. It's just like you kind of enjoy inhabiting this musical world. If I try not to pay attention to the cheesy 60s slang and you just live in the music, it just feels good, man.
Let me ask you this. Is the music cheesy?
Okay, great question. I'm going to play a few bars here. Let's just soak it in just for that question. Just let it roll around in our mind. Just marinate it a little bit in the salt air of Southern California. See how it feels.
Get around, round, 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 round. I get around.
Is it cheesy? You still got that jigga 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 Chuck Berry-ish guitar riff. The drums, you're the drummer, it's just slugging away back there.
Yeah.
Who's the drummer? Dennis?
Dennis, the cool one, of course.
Yeah. The one dude surfer. Who surfed, yeah. The only surfer.
He was living it. Actually,
everyone else is just a vicarious surfer in this band.
Yeah. And Brian claims that he wrote this and some other songs about like fast living based on Dennis's experiences.
Who's just partying really hard?
Yeah. And he was just like, hey, we'll all adopt this kind of characterization, right? Where we're going to be like, hey, we're cool guys out making real good bread.
Yeah, it's incredibly marketable. But it's just so funny to me that like after Surfing USA hit big a couple years before, they just didn't go out and take up surfing.
Yeah.
At that point, we had a huge hit with the Surfing USA is so big. Okay, now we're doing Surfing Safari. How about Surfer Girl? Let's try that. Yeah, Surfer. Okay, that's a hit too. Should we ever take up surfing and see what this is about?
I mean, that does seem like it's tough, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you don't get it right your first time up on the board.
That's a liability too. Like you can't surf unless they're on a private beach somewhere. You see the Beach Boys go out there and just like start eating shit on surfboards. Their careers are over.
You're right. Yeah, I see your point. Yeah, America has already accepted the image of them as surfers. Why puncture that by going out and falling off a board?
You know, Mike Love was like, look, we're frauds. We have to just commit to being frauds. Nobody can know. We'll say we're surfing. You just didn't see us out there. There can be no conclusive evidence that we are bad at surfing.
And no one will ever test us on this.
Exactly.
You're never going to be on a TV interview and Kathy Lee is going to pass you a surfboard and say, like, let's see what you can do.
No, we don't have time for that. These segments are 8 minutes by the time you paddle out there.
Well, talk about liars. Maybe they're not lying about going steady, but what a mirage, what fakery, what phoniness.
I think this whole thing is kind of, there's always this weird thing, right? There's the sunniness of their music and maybe even the cheesiness of the music in a refreshing way.
Yeah.
And then there's that darker underbelly of the band. And I think they tried to hide that darkness a little bit, except when they were like braggadocious.
The darker underbelly being that there's an abusive father who's their manager who's like physically abusing them. They had to physically reject him from the band and fight him to get it out. Then they're beefing about songwriting credits and having all sorts of artistic beef. And then the one surfer guy is
Dennis, the drummer.
Dennis, the drummer, is like a career partier and dies tragically early through drunken swimming and he drowns. Brian Wilson has all sort of mental health challenges. Is he institutionalized for a while?
He's under the care of Dr. Landy. Do you know this guy?
Yeah,
became his everything. He became his therapist, advisor,
and guru.
And gatekeeper. Yeah.
There's another twisted thing that I found out about, and you probably know this, that before his death, Dennis Wilson is credited with introducing Charles Manson to Hollywood society. And some people suggest that that made Dennis depressed and drink more and become self-destructive.
Yeah.
Knowing that he had done that.
Yeah. I mean, Charles Manson was hanging around. I think they recorded a song with Charles Manson.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about dark underbellies, this is some dark shit, man. I mean, this is like the sunniest possible band. And this is what's going on behind the scenes as they're singing about Little Surfer, Little One.
Yeah.
Charlie Manson was in the other room.
Fun, fun, fun till her daddy takes the T-Bird away.
Oh, fun, fun, fun until mass murders.
The Tate LaBianca murders.
Oh, man.
That ended that fun. Do you know about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction? Mike Love, another reason why he's kind of the villain of the Beach Boys.
Okay.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I didn't need more reasons, but I'm getting giddy just thinking that you're going to just continue breadcrumbing me and dropping more reasons as this episode goes on.
Are you starting to realize that this is the reason I wanted to talk about this song and the Beach Boys? Because I have so much pent up Mike Love rage inside me.
I thought you wanted to talk about this song, but you wanted to talk about Mike Love's autobiography, and I'm here for it.
Well, this is you can watch this on YouTube, and I recommend it.
Okay.
The Beach Boys induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1988.
Okay. Huge band. They're like a first ballot induction of Hall of Famer. It's early in the
Hall of Fame. It was the third ceremony.
Love it.
Also getting in at the same time, the Beatles and Bob Dylan.
Wow. That's who's getting inducted on that night. What a night. Bob Dylan, the Beatles, and the Beach Boys are going into the Hall of Fame at the same time.
So the Beach Boys being inducted. Everybody goes up there. All the surviving members of the Beach Boys are up there. Brian Wilson, at this point, very much, I think, medicated.
Not in control of his faculties?
Exactly. Reads a very lovely prepared statement off a piece of paper about the power of
music. I mean, we'll go watch this later, and I guess I'm recommending to every listener that we're making a recommendation, they go check this out. But describe it. Like, does he seem sedated when he's doing
these? He does, but he also seems like excited to be part of the rock, childlike.
Cool. Just
again,
genuine guy.
This is so cool. Like, I'm getting inducted with the Beatles, and this is such a great. Everybody loves the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but like he sees it as an honor. Talks about the power of music and how it changed his life. Mike Love gets up.
Oh no!
And he claims it was because he didn't meditate that day. Let me read you some quotes.
Oh, the number of things I've done when I didn't meditate.
The Beach Boys did about 180 performances last year. I'd like to see the Mop Tops match that. I'd like to see Mick Jagger get out on this stage and do I Get Around versus Jumpin' Jack Flash any day now. And I'd like to see some people kick out the jams, and I challenge the boss to get up on stage and jam. So at this point,
what?
They try to play him off.
What? He got up and chose to read a speech that was openly feuding with...
It was very much off the top of his head. Very much inebriated.
Extemporaneous and unhinged.
I want to see Billy Joel see if he can still tickle ivories.
What?
I know Mick Jagger won't be here tonight. Mick Jagger was there. He's going to have to stay in England, but I'd like to see us in the Coliseum and he at Wembley Stadium because he's always been chicken shit to get on stage with the Beach Boys.
What?
And they played him off. He was just calling people out and talking about how much more cool and badass the Beach Boys are than everybody. And I think everybody was like, the Beach Boys? Like Surfer Girl and I Get Around? And Kokomo?
That rocks. I get around. Round, round, get around. I get around. Yeah, get around. And now we're just into the chorus, to the end of the song. I love the little descending bit, just living in that doo-wop. It's just so sing-alongable. It's just a lovable song. As long as I don't listen to the lead vocal whining about how popular he is. It's a little bullyish.
It is.
It's a little bullyish. It's a little fellow kidsy, just like insisting, we love to do teenage stuff all the time.
We'll prove it by talking about it using slang.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I believe
I'm bugging
them if
out.
They just if they were just like if they said bored instead of bugged, I'd be like, okay.
Do you think the teens of the time just bought it? There's no concept of cringe then, where they're like, these guys try too hard to use our language.
No, they don't know that yet.
They don't know that yet, right? Like the Beach Boy, there's not that many bands out. Pop culture's not even that mature in terms of like mass media.
I mean, teenage culture was new at the time, right?
You're fairly? Right. Yeah, teenagers. Like,
less than a decade
really
old.
Existed as a demography for a few years. So the teens just accept whatever's coming
on
the radio.
They weren't very discerning.
These guys are bugging.
Well, they said it. I guess I got to start saying buggin' now.
Now we're all saying buggin'.
Were they trying to create the slang?
I'm getting slogged driving up and down the same old boosh. I got to find a new squad where my slaps are square. So I think we've hit on some really good things that we dislike about the song. And for me, it's the fellow kidsiness. It's the cheesy slang. I love the music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to try to punch up some amazing surf guitar. The chugga chugga
I'd
Chuck
cut
Berry
your hands
licks.
Off. How dare you?
If I played you a punch up where I changed.
If you change any of the music.
Where I changed the instrumental and then you just stabbed me.
Yeah, that'd be it.
How Mike Loving of you. How Mike Lovian of you.
Yeah.
I like when this podcast gets dark and when the guests threaten me with murder.
Well, you know, you don't touch Brian Wilson's arrangements.
HeadGum has me trapped in this contract and I'm looking for any way out. I will goad you until you stab me. Now I'm gonna.
It won't take much, Evan. Won't take much.
Now I'm gonna go punch this up as an easy listening track and see if I can get stabbed.
Yeah, I would blow my top. I would not be a real cool head about it.
You would not be a real cool head if I came back with Muzak.
No, sir.
If I came back and did this as a Beatles track, what an insult!
Those guys, the lads from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Those mop tops.
Mm-hmm. If I did a Mick Jagger impression, what can I do to get stabbed today? That's my new motto, hosting without Andrew. What can I do to get stabbed today? With that, we're going to take a break. I'm going to come back with a punch up. Thanks for being here, Tim. We're back, and we have a jam that's been punched. We can't stop punching up jams, and we're back, and the jam's been punched. I'm so happy to be here with
Me
my
too.
Guest.
Oh, sorry. I was just so excited to get back into it.
You jumped the gun before I... Why do I don't even need to introduce you. They're already listening to the episode, but your name's Tim. My name's Evan. My guest is Tim Daniels. And I bring to you my submission for an improved version of I Get Art. Let me just tell you what I did, and we'll play it. To recap, I don't like all the posing as teen stuff in the song. It feels phony. Even though audiences at the time might have just accepted it, it feels phony and fake to me. And I felt like this song, which is delicious musically, in my opinion, needed a refresh so that it's very clear that you really do know about teen stuff and it makes it a lot more real and less phony.
Nice. I think more songs should be authentically about teen stuff.
What a vacuum in pop music, singing about things that teens are interested in. Oh, there's not enough songs about teen things that teens love. But this is less about helping out the pop music industry, more about helping out the Beach Boys and making this poor song listenable again.
Yeah. I mean, that's a service. I mean, the music's there. We've agreed, right? Nobody's touched the music.
If I do, I get stabbed.
Yeah.
The bar is low for what I could get stabbed for. If you find anything that's not to your liking, I guess it could be a stabbing. That could be a stabbing.
You knew the deal when you booked me.
I signed.
Yeah.
I signed. I didn't read it closely. But I signed it. Your agreement, your rider. Okay, speaking of riding in fast-driving cars, I'm just really excited about this one, man. I'm happy with how this one came out. Please enjoy. I Get Around. Punched.
Cool, cool, I'm a cool, real cool teen. Cool, cool, I'm a cool, real cool teen.
Oh, I'm a teen. I'm feeling low-key extra and my bar's finna slap. I got that main character energy, no cap.
Now you know he's real.
My ride or dies and me are out posting dubs. Yeah, our drips are bussin', we're a menace, bruh. And that's the
cool,
team.
I'm the
G-O-A-T. I'm a cool G-O-A-T.
Too bad and bougie.
I'm a cool bad and bougie.
In your head red free.
I'm a cool
You gotta take his word for it.
I'm so cool. I'm so cool.
We always take my whip, it's iconic, fam. And we never get ghosted, cause the girls are all stands. No cringe, and we never simp. We're the CEOs of understanding the assignment. Yeah, I'm a
cool,
team.
I'm a cool team.
They still get the girls.
Popular teen,
yeah,
I'm a sleigh all day. Popular teen, cool, cool, I'm a cool, real cool teen. Cool, Gen Z teen. Cool, cool, I'm a cool Gucci teen. Cool, cool, I'm a G-O-A teen. Cool, I'm a cool, real cool teen. Cool, Gen Z teen.
It's the authenticity that really sells it.
Oh, thanks.
I'll be honest with you, I'm going to have to take your word for some of that that teen slang.
You didn't follow all the slang? That's
nah,
the punch up. That's it. That's I Get Around Punched Up. So,
amazing.
I'm going to pass you a copy of the lyrics. Take a look. What words didn't you follow? I know it was dense. People are going to want to go back and listen to this one a second, third, 14th, 15th time.
All right. All vibe, I get. No cringe. And we never simp. Is simp a verb?
You can simp. Yeah, it's a verb.
Okay.
This is so sad that two men of our age be talking about that. But that's the point. What the Beach Boys are doing.
I feel like we're going to get arrested.
To simp is to be simple and emasculate oneself to try to curry favor with a girl.
Got it.
And so we got to hit the same themes here. You're still getting chicks. You're a Beach Boy, man. But in this version, you never get ghosted because the girls are all stands.
Now, posting dubs. Is that a TikTok thing?
A dub is a W.
Okay.
That's when you're out there winning. You're sick of winning.
No, yeah, I can't ask these. I understood every word of this. And
this is great because
me and my fellow Gen Z friends all understood this, every word of it.
You know, there's plenty of millennials listening to this podcast that might need a little help with posting dubs.
Mm-hmm.
They might not know about drips.
Drips are bussin'.
Yeah, your drip is your outfit. It's your style.
Okay.
And let me tell you, yeah, the Beach Boys have drip for sure.
Removing dishes from tables and bringing them.
Oh, it's just exploding. Bussin is exploding with goodness. That's really positive. That's really great.
Nice.
I did, you know, I took a little license by spelling out G-O-A-T instead of just saying that we're the goat.
Yeah, I mean, that's songwriter's prerogative.
Thanks. I'll post the lyrics to this one maybe on Twitter or on Patreon or something like that because
I think
people might need a read along.
I think this could do it. This could have crossover appeal. I think people might see this as, oh, okay, maybe we should hire Evan to update the slang in all songs.
That's a tried and true punch up technique. You bring it into today,
right? Authentically.
Authentically.
Yes.
Again, authentically. You listen to this song and you can tell it really comes from the heart, from a guy who is just living a teen life, a real teen.
You know who would love this? Unironically, Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson would be like, this is great. You're bringing my song to a new generation. It was always meant to speak the language of a teenager whenever they heard it.
Yeah, that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
At the time, absolutely. It's just pandering to teens.
Mm-hmm.
Fans, my fam, my punch-up jam fam, somebody out there in this audience knows Brian Wilson or a relative.
Mike Love, maybe, his cousin. Well, yeah. That wouldn't do anything. Yeah. Mike Love's not showing him this. Mike Love's like, I wrote these lyrics, Evan.
Mike Love is going to sue me saying he wrote my punch-up. Somebody get this on Brian Wilson's desk. Anyone would listen to this song and say, I'm only listening to this one from now on, and I'm calling Clear Channel and replacing all of the Beach Boys masters with this song.
I think that's a no-brainer. I don't think anybody will disagree that that's what needs to be done.
Well, thanks for being here, Tim. I want to take a break before we come back with Walk-In Music. I just wanted to remind you that after you've been on this show, you can no longer use Tim Daniels as your name legally in podcasting or any other sphere of life. I now own that name and your physical body.
You pulled a Mike Love on me.
Well.
I knew this would happen sooner or later.
I pulled a Mike Love on you. I signed your writer, but you also signed mine. What a show it's been. We've gotten around. We really did get around the history of the Beach Boys. We changed the song historically, but we don't end the show before we do a little segment that we call Walk-In Music.
What is your Walk-In Music?
It's our chance to share a song.
That scared me. I'm sorry. That startled me.
Last time you were on the show, we didn't have my little segment.
I've heard that it just came in at such a volume that...
Tim, this is your chance to share a song that you love with our audience, and you describe a scenario, real life or otherwise, that you would use this song to walk into.
Do I just go ahead?
I'll go first. I'll warm it up for you.
Okay,
for my jumping off point, I was thinking about surf music, listening to this song over and over, just thinking about the Beach Boys, and... where I got to was my closest relationship to surf music was many years ago. I played in a tiki band, which it's not surf music, but ocean oriented, associated with island culture, the tiki stuff. And it was a weird...
I did not know this about you.
This is maybe just a little bit before we met. I don't know, this would have been 15 years ago, maybe. It was an odd band because the tiki music scene is... a weird niche of culture now. I think it's a big thing in the 50s. But so what are we playing? We're playing like Coney Island. We're playing biker bars. We're playing burlesque clubs. I played naked with this band once at the Slipper Room in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
Why? They asked me. But this is a song that we used to perform, and I just absolutely love it. This song is called Taboo. It's by Karina Valente. She's from Europe, but she did part of her career in America and sang with like all the Rat Pack types. This song to me has a like James Bond aesthetic that I love. But it is the opposite of I Get Around's theme around protecting your steady girlfriends from infidelity by not going steady with them. This song is about a taboo love.
Ooh.
So this is my walk-in song when I am an international spy meeting an assassination, meeting a surreptitious lover for an affair at a bar. The mood is set.
I like this so far.
It's an alfresco bar.
Slowly,
beachside. The eastern moon's ascending. Eyes lock.
And when our silhouettes were blended,
I'm wearing a slinky cocktail dress.
I found
she's wearing a tuxedo.
Love, fate denied me. And although I knew this was madness,
I know it's madness.
It's merely
a prelude to sadness. What's about to happen here? I can't stop myself. I take a sip from my fourth martini.
Ignoring every word my heart kept saying.
I start telling her about Mike Love.
Remember, he isn't for you.
Beach Boys bees is a taboo subject.
Good reason.
There's someone that you are promised to.
The song is Taboo by Karina Valente, but I...
That's a lovely song.
Thank you. I think it's awesome, and it sets a mood, but also I got to play the ending for you.
Taboo! Taboo!
Eat your heart out, Brian Wilson, with the wacky arrangements.
Yeah.
They really cranked it up. That's my walk-in song. It's called Taboo.
Love it.
Use it for all your affairs.
Hey, if you're leaving your best girl home on a Saturday night, approach another lady.
You can approach another lady.
Yeah, if that song's playing.
It's only a prelude to sadness.
All right. Evan.
Lay it on me.
Picture this. You go home after recording an episode of Punch Up the Jam.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a Beach Boys song.
Okay, familiar scene.
And you've changed the musical arrangement. You think, oh, you know what?
Oh, no.
That guitar line wasn't so hot.
Oh, no, I deleted the lead guitar.
That wet reverb that Tim loved so much.
Oh, I took the spring reverb off the amp.
Hit it. You're getting ready for bed. Do you hear something?
I hear...
From the living room?
Yes. Yeah, what is it?
Perhaps...
There's a noise.
Somebody maybe doing a creepy crawly in your living room?
I hear a shuffling. It could be somebody crawling across the wall-to-wall carpet in my trailer. Am I about to get assassinated?
You signed the paper, my friend. I'm sitting.
I feel a certain resignation, for sure. I'm not running.
I'm back at the ranch myself. Just hanging. Just chilling. So you'll be good. Who's entering your home?
You've hired a hitman to off me?
The family, my friend.
Whoa!
This is Revolution Blues by Neil Young about Charles Manson. They were all running in the same circles. Neil Young, Charles Manson, Dennis Wilson.
This song is about Charles Manson?
Yes.
And so this song is going to be played while I'm murdered.
I mean, this is what you're going to be thinking. It's going to be playing. It's going to be like a cinematic scene in your head. And you're going to be putting it all together. And you're going to be like, shouldn't have messed with that lead guitar line.
Oh, I have tons of regrets at this point. But I guess one regret is not that it feels like I'm in a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool way to die.
Very cool way to die.
Yeah. I won't deceive you. I just don't. Anyway, Revolution Blues. On the Beach. Great Neil Young album.
Awesome pick. Awesome pick. And great scenario. I haven't been murdered yet in the walk-in segment.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, we had a deal. I hate to do it, Evan. We've known each other a while now.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought it was going to be a stabbing. There's something just so visceral about it. I thought it would just be a crime of passion.
Oh,
but
no.
This was so premeditated and, you know, more evil.
Yeah. Sorry? Am I meant to apologize? Is that the right thing to do?
You don't have to. I mean, I signed it, like you said.
Yeah.
No problem.
I'm not really going to do that, Evan.
Thanks, Tim. Tim, thanks $1 million for being here. Those are fake dollars. I'm not paying you for being here. But what I can pay you with is the nearly worthless promotion of saying your Twitter handle. I want everybody that is listening to this podcast to go sub, if they haven't already, Tim's great podcast, The Complete Guide to Everything, that he does with Tom Reynolds. At TCGTE is also where that podcast can be followed.
I think so, yeah.
Where can people follow you?
You can follow me at Your Pal Tim.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's nice, right?
And you can follow me at Get Some Evan. You can follow the podcast at Punch Up the Jam. And most importantly, you can also get all of these songs and listen to them without me cracking up at my own handiwork if you support the show on Patreon, which is at patreon.com/GregoryBrothers. You just get a hold of all the songs and
Play them on the radio.
And be the coolest teen on the strip when you play these things.
Pass it to Brian Wilson.
Pass it to Brian Wilson.
I bet you could get Brian Wilson to agree to like replace it on all future pressings of that Beach Boys record. Endless Summer.
I look forward to that happening. Until then, this has been Punch Up the Jam.
Let's punch it.
Punch up the jam, punch it up.
You've been listening to Punch Up the Jam.
How do you do, fellow kids?
That was a HeadGum Original.